When I was called to the first church I served in Lansing, Michigan, they presented me at my welcome service with a pastoral record journal. And inside I keep notes of important things that happen in the extent or in the years of my pastoral ministry. And so I can tell you that 18 years later, I've served three churches. That was easy to count. I've performed 51 baptisms, including one just a couple weeks ago. Aiden's up at the sound booth today. And I've officiated at 62 funerals, which tells you that not everyone gets baptized, but everyone does eventually die. I have an article in the current edition of the Covenant Companion about funerals, about helping families through loss, and it's something that pastors do often. And I can assure you, after 62 funerals, it's not easy. And that's just from this side of the pulpit. Of course, it's far more difficult, far more painful when you are one of those family members sitting there on the front pew at the service for your spouse, your parent, your child, your sibling, a friend, whoever it is. We all know what that's like. We've all lost someone we love. We know what that is like, to feel that sorrow and to know that that person that you cared about will never, in this life, you'll never be able to see them again or talk to them again. Last week we talked about overcoming loneliness, and I said that's a message that would hit close to home, and I'm afraid today's message also is going to hit close to home as we talk about overcoming sorrow. It's a hard topic. But as we go through this today, I want to assure you that there is good news. There's always good news when we read God's Word. And so there will be good news today. This message is not dwelling in your sorrow. It's not drowning in your sorrow. It is how God helps us to overcome sorrow, how God helps us to find peace and hope, even in the midst of the great difficulties of our lives. And so today we're going to read the opening chapter of one of the most beautiful stories in the Old Testament about two of the strongest and most faithful women who probably have ever lived, certainly whose stories have ever been recorded in the Bible. These are women who walked through sorrow, and yet God brought them redemption. God brought them new life. So it's the story of Ruth, but as we begin, it will be the story of Naomi, and you'll understand who Naomi and Ruth are as we go along here. But let me begin with the first five verses of the book of Ruth. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. So a man from Bethlehem in Judah, together with his wife and two sons, went to live for a while in the country of Moab. The man's name was Elimelech. His wife's name was Naomi. And the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem, Judah, and they went to Moab and lived there. Now Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with her two sons. They married Moabite women, one named Orpah and the other Ruth. After they had lived there about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died. And Naomi was left without her two sons and without her husband. Naomi's name means pleasant. We'll read at the end of chapter 1 that she, after this experience, began to tell people, don't call me Naomi, call me Mara, because the word Mara means bitter. Her life had been made bitter. Naomi was a lot like Job. We know Job's story, how he lost all of his children and all of his great wealth and was left in his sorrow. Naomi lost her husband. She lost her two sons. She was also separated from her homeland. She was cut off from her extended family for more than a decade. Naomi knew the bitterness of sorrow. And I think we all understand that too. Sorrow fills your heart when you lose someone or something you love. When you lose someone or something you love. Of course, the deepest sorrows come when a loved one dies. And again, we've all experienced that, whether it's a spouse or a child or a parent or a close friend. But you can also feel sorrow when you lose other things, things that you love. For instance, if maybe you had a particular dream in your heart or an opportunity that you thought you would soon be able to take hold of, but then you lost it. Maybe it was a job that you thought was going to be yours and then it didn't work out. Or maybe it's a relationship that breaks down and then breaks apart and then you break up. It could even be a car crash, or maybe you lose your home to a financial problem, and if it's something you loved, you feel sorrow. Maybe it's precious heirlooms that were washed away in a flood or on a fire. Anytime we lose something that we love, it hurts. And we feel that emptiness in our hearts. And that thing can never be replaced. And sadness fills up our hearts and sort of takes residency there. Sorrow comes to live, and it comes often to stay for a long, long time. That's especially true when we love something deeply. In fact, the more you love that thing, the more you love that person that you've now lost, the deeper your sorrow will be and the longer it will last, which is why when someone we love dies, that sorrow will last to some degree for the rest of your life. And so this morning, as we talk about overcoming sorrow, is how God can help us to overcome sorrow. That doesn't mean that sorrow is ever going to go away. It may not. It probably won't. And yet God can help us to live even in the midst of that sorrow. Losing someone you love is like having part of your heart cut out. And there's a hole left behind. And that hole can never just be refilled. It can't fully heal itself. That hole will remain. Sorrow may soften over the years. It may become more bearable as time goes by. But the hole is still there. And so you think about Naomi, who lost the three people in her life that she loved the most. And her heart was filled with holes, filled with sorrow. So her story continues at verse 6. When Naomi heard in Moab that the Lord had come to the aid of his people by providing food for them, she and her daughters-in-law prepared to return home from there. With her two daughters-in-law, she left the place where she had been living and set out on the road that would take them back to the land of Judah. Then Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go back, each of you, to your mother's home. May the Lord show you kindness, as you have shown kindness to your dead husbands and to me. May the Lord grant that each of you will find rest in the home of another husband." Then she kissed them goodbye, and they wept aloud and said to her, "We will go back with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Return home, my daughters. Why would you come with me? Am I going to have more sons who could become your husbands? Return home, my daughters. I'm too old to have another husband. Even if I thought there was still hope for me, even if I had a husband tonight and then gave birth to sons, would you wait until they grew up? Would you remain unmarried for them? No, my daughters, it is more bitter for me than for you, because the Lord's hand is turned against me." At this they wept aloud again. Then Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth clung to her. Ruth clung to her. Orpah and Ruth each had their own sorrows to carry. They had each lost their husbands. We imagine at this point they're still quite young. They were likely only married to their husbands for a year or two before they both passed away. And so these two young women, now widows, have to make a decision. Are they going to stay with their own families, their own homeland in Moab, or will they go with their mother-in-law back to her homeland now that the famine is over? And Naomi urges them, go back to your own families. It's okay. But Ruth chose to stay with Naomi, which is the first hint in the story that there's some good news coming, that there's some redemption that will come for both Naomi and eventually also for Ruth. Sorrow can consume us. Sorrow can take over your life. Your heart's broken. You may feel like you will never be able to love anyone or anything again, which is why we need other people around us who also do love us. We need family members and friends. We need those people who are dear to us, who can show us that life does go on, that there is still a reason to live, that you can receive love and you can love again. Naomi lost her husband and her sons, but she had these two daughters-in-law who loved her, especially Ruth, who, it says, clung to her, who wouldn't leave her. And this is the beginning of the good news for us. What you have lost may never be restored, but God can give you peace to overcome sorrow. Peace comes from being surrounded by the people that you love. It comes from remembering that God is gracious, that He is good. Peace comes from seeing the sun rise again after a dark, long night and remembering that God is still watching over you. And He gives us peace. I've witnessed, and I know many of you have witnessed time after time, how our church family lifts up those who are brokenhearted. How this church family offers hope and love even in the midst of sorrow. How we surround one another in those moments and are there to bring encouragement and hope and peace. No one can bring back the one you lost. But the love of God's people helps us to find a way forward. It helps us to understand and remember that we're not alone in our sorrow. Which brings us to the next piece of good news that we find in Ruth's words to her mother-in-law. At verse 15. Look, said Naomi, your sister-in-law is going back to her people and her gods. Go back with her. But Ruth replied, don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. And there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if even death separates you and me. When Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging her. Ruth's words are sometimes read at weddings. It's promise of a lifelong love, lifelong companionship. Where you go, I will go. Nothing but death, even death, won't even separate us. I'll be with you always. These words, though, also reflect God's heart for us. He's promised that He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. No matter what comes, God is always there. God doesn't abandon you in your sorrow. Which, of course, is what sorrow feels like. Sorrow feels like being abandoned. That hole in your heart that can't be refilled, that what you love has been lost and never to be returned. And you feel like things will never go back to the way they were before. And to some degree, that's true, but God doesn't leave us. God doesn't abandon us. God never changes even if the condition of our life does. The darkness of grief may overwhelm you. You may have a hard time seeing light or hope or goodness, but that doesn't mean that God has gone away. God's light never stops shining, and eventually God's light will break through the darkness that you're feeling. And you will see that light again. We heard earlier in the service from Isaiah 61, which is a prophecy that Jesus would come into the world to bring good news. Jesus would come, as Isaiah prophesied, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. And we find those promises coming into our lives as we give ourselves to Jesus Christ. Ruth's love was a comfort for Naomi. But for Naomi, she was still under this cloud of sorrow as she made her way back to her homeland without her husband, without her two sons, without the things that she cared about most that she had when she left. And now she comes back home to her extended family with none of those people. She went back home with Ruth as her only companion. In verse 19 it says, "So the two women went on until they came to Bethlehem. And when they arrived in Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them. And the women exclaimed, 'Can this be Naomi?' 'Don't call me Naomi,' she told them. 'Call me Mara, because the Almighty has made my life very bitter. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi? The Lord has afflicted me. The Almighty has brought misfortune upon me.' So Naomi returned from Moab, accompanied by Ruth, the Moabite, her daughter-in-law. Arriving in Bethlehem as the barley harvest was beginning." As the barley harvest was beginning. Naomi didn't understand it at the time, and if you've never read this story, you may not understand it yet either, but the barley harvest was a glimmer of hope for Naomi and for Ruth. Of course, it was a glimmer of hope for people who had also just lived through this long famine, and now the fields are ripe for harvest. It's good news. God is providing. It's redemption coming, and that was true for Naomi as well as for Ruth. Because you see, during that harvest, Ruth met a man named Boaz. Boaz was a good man who happened to be sort of a distant relative of Naomi. And what was most important at this moment was that Boaz owned a large barley field. And he allowed Ruth to go out behind his workers, and anything they left behind as they harvested the field, she was allowed to collect and take home to feed herself and feed Naomi as well. And eventually, as Ruth and Boaz got to know each other, they fell in love. And they got married. And Ruth had a son who she named Obed. And Obed was Naomi's grandson, and he brought her great joy. Obed, as it turns out, grew up and had a child, and he had a child, and Obed's grandson was a young man named David. And when David grew up, he became the greatest king that Israel ever had. Ruth is remembered in the lineage of David. In fact, if you look in Matthew chapter 1, verse 5, Ruth is listed in the lineage that leads to the birth of Jesus, our Savior. And so Naomi thought her life had become bitter, and in some ways her life was bitter and filled with sorrow. But out of that sorrow, God brought new life. God brought blessing. And that same hope comes to us. sorrow makes life bitter. But God offers redemption, and He offers the hope of new life. The people and things that we've lost will never be restored. And that is the hard reality of this life. Sorrow may linger in your heart as long as you live, but our God is the God of redemption. Our God is able to bring good even out of what is bad. Our God is able to give hope in the midst of sorrow. He's able to bring healing. He's able to bring new life. He's able to bring peace, even in the wake of death. And so for Ruth, that meant a new husband and a child. For Naomi, it meant a grandson who would carry on her family's line, family name. For you, it might mean a new friendship. For you, it might mean a relationship that is restored that you thought was broken. It might mean a new opportunity that you never saw before when you were so focused on the other opportunity that you lost. It might just mean a second chance at a better life or a different life that ends up being a blessing that you may never have had things not gone the way they did. The redemption that God brings us always includes the peace of Christ that passes our understanding, that is beyond what we can understand. And that is why, in the midst of our sorrow, we can have peace, even though we are still feeling the sorrow of the loss that we've experienced. We can have the peace of God that we can't fully understand or explain, or other people may look at your life and think, how can you find new hope or new life or a way to move on in the midst of the sorrow of what you've lost? But that is the peace that God gives us that is beyond what we can explain. It's beyond what this world can make sense of, and that peace fills our hearts and it helps us to carry on because God has made us that promise. That despite sorrow and sadness, you will find that you can live on. You can live on because of the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. And so overcoming sorrow is, it's not about always feeling happy. Instead, overcoming sorrow is about peace. That faithful contentment and comfort in God's goodness. And Jesus gives you peace to sustain you through this life. And that peace also helps us to cling to the promise of eternity. That promise of the time when all sorrow will fade away. And then we will receive the promise of Revelation 21. That God will wipe away every tear from our eyes. There'll be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. So in the midst of our sorrow, whether it's a new sorrow or one that's lingered in your heart for a long time, may God be with you. May God give you strength. May He lift you up. And may He give you peace. Let's bow our heads together. Father, we thank You for the story of Naomi and Ruth. We thank You, Lord, for the faith that they had to walk with You, the ways You provided for them. As they walked in their sorrow, they found new life and redemption. Lord, I pray for all of us today, for the sorrows that we carry in our hearts, those holes that will never heal in this life. But Lord, I pray that You would help us to find the hope and the peace that You give that does bring healing. That does help us to carry on and walk forward. Lord, we thank You for that good news. We place our lives into Your hands and trust in You through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.